Hey everyone, welcome back for another deep dive. Today we're going to be looking at the work of a researcher named Mattia, who's doing some really cool stuff with nanotechnology and vaccine development.
Yeah, it's some really fascinating research.
We're going to look at his time with the Iberis Experience Program, a pretty unique research fellowship, and then we'll dive into some of his publications, really get into the nitty-gritty.
Yeah, unpacking these tiny particles with huge potential.
Exactly. Buckle up, everybody.
So Mattia's story is really interesting, I think, because it shows just how impactful these international research programs can be.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
He's a postdoctoral researcher at the Universidad de La Rioja in Spain. He's working with Professor Francisco Corzana, a real leader in biological chemistry and carbohydrates.
Right. I've heard of Corzana.
Yeah, he's pretty well known.
But his path to La Rioja, it wasn't like a straight line, right?
Exactly, yeah. Mattia actually returned to Spain through the Iberis Experience Program, which is a research fellowship that's specifically designed to promote collaboration across the Iberian Peninsula.
It's interesting.
It's a pretty prestigious program, very competitive.
Oh, why?
And it offers a longer fellowship than some other programs, like 3 years compared to something like the Marie Curie fellowships.
3 years, that's a good chunk of time.
Right.
It gives you so much time to really dig deep into a project and make a real impact.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Especially for someone working on such complex topics like Mattia, that time must be super valuable.
Absolutely. It lets them really explore the different facets of a research area.
And I'm betting that all that extra time let him explore a lot of different research interests. Did you see any evidence of that when you were looking through his publications?
Oh, yeah, definitely. We'll be looking at a few key publications that really demonstrate just how broad his work is.
Okay, awesome.
One that really caught my eye was Molecular Basis for Bacterial N-Glycosylation by a Soluble HMW1C-like N-Glycosyl Transferase.
Wow, that's a mouthful.
Yeah, it's a long one.
Okay, so break that down for me. Glycosylation, that's like bacteria decorating themselves with sugar.
Pretty much. Bacteria, like a lot of other organisms, they have sugars that attach their proteins.
Right.
And this process, glycosylation, it plays a huge role in how they interact with their environment and even how they cause disease.
Interesting.
So what Mattia and his team investigated in this paper was a specific type of glycosyl transferase, an enzyme that helps to attach those sugars.
So if we can understand how these enzymes work, could we potentially develop new ways to, like, fight off bacterial infections, almost like targeting that sugar decorating process to stop the bacteria?
Exactly. Yeah. By understanding these mechanisms, scientists can, they can potentially develop drugs or therapies that target these very enzymes.
That's so cool. It's like learning the enemy's language, you know?
Yeah.
Like learning how they communicate so you can outsmart them.
Yeah, finding those weak points.
But Mattia didn't just stop there, right? What other publications stood out to you?
Another really fascinating one focuses on a different side of glycosylation.
Okay.
It's titled High Sensitivity Profiling of N-Glycans from Mouse Serum Using Fluorescent Imidazolium Tags by Heilig Electrospray Ionization Spectrometry.
Okay, another long one.
Yeah, they love their long titles.
Sensing a theme here. Sugars are pretty important when it comes to biology, huh?
They really are.
But how does this fluorescent tagging work? Is it like giving these sugar molecules a little glow up so we can study them easier?
That's a great way to put it. They used fluorescent tags, basically like little beacons, to make these sugar molecules way easier to detect and analyze.
Right.
Think of it like if you're trying to find a star in the night sky.
Okay.
It's way easier to spot that star if it's super bright, right?
Right, yeah.
So by making these N-glycans, these sugar molecules, standout researchers can learn a lot more about how they work in all sorts of different biological processes.
So this must have some pretty big implications for a bunch of different fields, not just vaccine development, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's all connected.
Accurately profiling these N-glycans is super important for fields like cancer biology, immunology, drug discovery.
Wow.
It's a fundamental tool for understanding all the complexities of biological systems.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
It sounds like Mattia is making some pretty big contributions to how we understand these really complex biological processes.
He certainly is.
And his work with the Iberis Experience, it seems like that's played a key role in his whole career, you know?
Yeah.
Like how he's gotten to where he is.
Yeah, without a doubt.
But we'll circle back to that later. I'm really curious about his other research, specifically his work on cancer vaccines. That's where things get really exciting, right? Like potentially life-changing stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
Everyone knows someone who's been affected by cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So let's dive into his publication, non-natural MUC1 glycopeptide homogenous cancer vaccine with enhanced immunogenicity and therapeutic activity.
Okay.
What did he discover with this potential vaccine?
So this publication, it focuses on a type of glycopeptide that's derived from a protein called MUC1, which is often overexpressed in cancer cells.
Interesting.
Think of it like a red flag, signaling to the immune system, hey, here's a cancer cell.
Gotcha. So the MUC1 protein is like a come get me signal for the immune system.
You could say that.
That's fascinating.
So by using a modified version of this glycopeptide, researchers are aiming to create a vaccine that would trigger the immune system to recognize and attack those cancer cells much more effectively.
So it's almost like training your body's own defenses to become like expert cancer cell hunters.
That's a great way to put it.
That's wild. And what's even more exciting is that this vaccine showed some promising results in preventing and treating cancer in mouse models, right?
Yes, exactly.
That's a huge step forward. And what makes this vaccine stand out even more?
Well, it's designed to be much more immunogenic.
Meaning what?
Meaning that it triggers a much stronger response from the immune system than traditional vaccines. It's like giving the immune system a super boost, making it much better at fighting off those cancer cells.
This is groundbreaking stuff. It really does give hope for more effective cancer therapies in the future.
Yeah, it's exciting research.
But his contributions to science, they go way beyond cancer research, right? Didn't he also work on enzyme inhibitors?
He did, and that's another area where his research is pushing the boundaries.
Okay, so let's dive into that next. His work in that area sounds fascinating.
It really is. We'll get into all the details after the break.
Awesome. This is all so exciting. It sounds like Mattia is a real trailblazer in the research world. Stay with us as we delve deeper into his work on enzyme inhibition and also how the Iberis Experience Program has shaped his whole journey.
All right, so let's shift gears a bit and talk about Mattia's work with enzyme inhibitors.
Okay.
It's totally different from what we've been talking about, but still super impactful.
Gotcha.
He dug into what they call the rational design of dual domain binding inhibitors for N-acetylgalactosamine transferase 2 with improved selectivity over the T1 and T3 isoforms.
Okay. Gotta admit, that title's a little intimidating for us non-scientists.
Yeah, it's a mouthful.
So break it down for us. What are these enzyme inhibitors and why should we care?
All right, so think of enzymes like tiny little machines in our bodies that speed up all kinds of chemical reactions.
Okay.
They're essential for pretty much everything, like digestion or how our cells communicate.
Right, right.
But sometimes these enzymes can kind of go rogue and end up causing disease.
Oh.
And that's where the inhibitors come in. They act like brakes, slowing down or stopping these malfunctioning enzymes.
So it's like throwing a wrench into the gears of a machine that's gone haywire.
Yeah, that's a good analogy.
But I imagine it's not quite that simple, right? There
are
tons of different enzymes in our bodies.
Exactly. The trick is to develop these inhibitors that are super selective. They have to target the specific enzyme that's causing the problem without messing with all the other important enzymes.
So it's like designing a key that only fits one specific lock.
Exactly.
That makes a lot of sense.
So in this research, Mattia was targeting an enzyme called N-acetylgalactosamine transferase 2, GalNAc-T2 for short.
GalNAc-T2. Okay, I'll try to remember that one.
Yeah, it's a bit of a tongue twister.
So why is GalNAc-T2 so important? What happens when it goes wrong?
Well, it plays a key role in something called O-glycosylation.
Okay, is that like the N-glycosylation we talked about earlier?
Yeah, think of it as a cousin to that.
Gotcha.
It's still about attaching sugars to proteins, but in different ways.
Okay, so.
And O-glycosylation is super important for lots of proteins that are involved in really vital processes.
Like what?
Like how cells talk to each other, our immune system, even the development of cancer.
Wow.
So controlling this GalNAc-T2 could really have a big impact on all of those functions.
That's amazing. So by designing those selective inhibitors for GalNAc-T2, Mattia's research could actually lead to new treatments for a whole bunch of diseases.
Exactly. And what's really impressive is that he was able to design inhibitors that were really good at only targeting GalNAc-T2.
Okay.
And not affecting similar enzymes like T1 and T3.
Wow, that's like silencing one specific instrument in an orchestra without changing the overall sound, you know? Like, that kind of control is incredible.
Yeah, it's really precise work.
Makes you wonder how many other enzymes are out there just waiting for us to develop these inhibitors.
It's a whole world of possibilities.
Really is. So we've gone from bacterial glycosylation to fluorescent tagging to cancer vaccines and now enzyme inhibitors. This guy gets around.
Yeah, he's definitely a versatile researcher.
But there's one more area we got to talk about. His work with carbon dot nanoparticles and what they could mean for delivering vaccines.
Oh yeah, now we're getting into the futuristic stuff.
Right, this is where it gets really wild.
Mattia's research in this area is especially exciting because it taps into nanotechnology and how it could revolutionize medicine.
Okay, so given the nanotech rundown, what are carbon dots and what makes them so special?
So picture these teeny tiny dots, way smaller than anything you can see with your naked eyes.
Okay.
And these dots can actually be engineered to carry stuff like drugs or, in Mattia's case, vaccines. That's the power of these carbon dots. They're incredibly small nanoparticles with these unique properties that make them perfect for medical applications.
So it's like these carbon dots are like microscopic delivery trucks taking the vaccines straight to the cells that need them.
Exactly. And because of their size, they can slip through biological barriers that traditional vaccines might struggle with.
Like a special ox team that can infiltrate right where they need to be.
Yeah, that's a great way to think about it.
I'm starting to see why Mattia is so excited about these carbon dots. It really does seem like a whole new frontier in medicine.
Definitely.
But what makes them safe to use in our bodies? You know, we're still talking about putting foreign materials into our systems.
That's a really important point. One of the coolest things about these carbon dots is that they're biocompatible.
Meaning what?
It means they usually don't cause any harmful reactions in the body.
So they're like tiny ninjas that can move around without setting off any alarms?
Yeah, basically.
That's so wild. So they're tiny, stealthy, and can deliver these vaccines with crazy precision. It sounds like something out of sci-fi, but it's actually happening now.
It's pretty amazing.
What other advantages do carbon dots have over the traditional ways of delivering vaccines?
Well, for one, they're super versatile. Carbon dots can be modified to carry all kinds of cargo and to target very specific cells or tissues.
So it's like having a delivery system you can customize, adapt it to different situations.
Precisely.
This is mind-blowing. It seems like Mattia's research is really pushing the limits of what we thought was possible in medicine.
Absolutely. And it really fits in with this larger trend of nanotechnology totally transforming healthcare.
It's everywhere. Nanoparticles are being used in everything from delivering drugs to diagnostics to even repairing damaged tissues.
Mm.
It's like we're on the verge of a nanotech revolution.
We really are. And Mattia is right there on the front lines, helping to drive this wave of innovation.
It's inspiring to see how his work is pushing the boundaries of what we know. But his research journey takes another interesting turn, right? Didn't he also spend some time at the Università di Verona in Italy looking at antiviral applications?
He did. That's where his work took a very timely turn, focusing on the SARS-CoV-2 virus.
Oh, wow. So now we're talking about something that hits close to home for everyone.
Right? Yeah, the COVID-19 pandemic really underscored just how crucial antiviral research is.
Absolutely. So what was Mattia working on during his time in Verona?
He shifted his focus to gold nanoparticles, looking into whether they could be used as antiviral agents against SARS-CoV-2.
Gold nanoparticles.
Mm-hmm.
So we've gone from carbon dots to gold dots now. Why the switch?
It might seem like a completely different direction, but both types of nanoparticles have that potential for targeted delivery and therapeutic applications.
Okay, so there's some overlap there.
Yeah, for sure.
But in Verona, Mattia got into some very specific techniques for understanding these gold nanoparticles. So what did he learn in Verona that could be applied to his work with these nanoparticles?
He learned some really cool techniques like dynamic light scattering and zeta potential to figure out the characteristics of these nanoparticles.
Okay, those sound pretty technical.
Yeah, they are.
Can you break them down for us?
Sure.
What do dynamic light scattering and zeta potential actually tell us about nanoparticles?
All right, so imagine you drop a pebble into a pond.
Oh.
The ripples that spread out, they tell you something about how big that pebble is, right?
Right.
Dynamic light scattering works kind of like that, but with light and nanoparticles.
So it's like using light to measure these teeny tiny particles.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Right, that makes sense. What about zeta potential?
Zeta potential, that has to do with the electrical charge on the surface of the nanoparticle.
Okay.
That charge can affect how the nanoparticles interact with other molecules, even viruses.
So it's like understanding the nanoparticle's personality, you know? Like whether it's attracted to other molecules or if it wants to stay away from them.
Yeah, it's all about understanding their social skills, how they get along with their environment.
That's a good way to put it. And knowing all of this is crucial for designing nanoparticles that can actually do what we need them to, like fighting off viruses, right?
Exactly. Mattia's time in Verona not only let him dive into this antiviral research, but also pick up some really valuable skills and techniques that he can apply to all sorts of different areas within nanotechnology.
It's like he's building up his scientific toolkit.
Exactly.
His whole journey from Spain to Italy and back, it really shows how important collaboration and sharing knowledge across borders is.
For sure.
It's through those connections that big breakthroughs happen.
Absolutely. And speaking of Mattia's perspective on all of this, I found a quote from him that beautifully sums up his experience with the Iberis Experience Program and how it's impacted his career.
Oh, I'd love to hear it. What did he have to say?
He said, the Iberis Experience Project was key to my return to Spain, you know, where I did my PhD, and to my becoming part of the University of La Rioja. Here, I worked with the group led by Prof. F. Corzana, a high-profile international researcher in biological chemistry and carbohydrates.
Right. We talked about him before.
I am very grateful to the Iberis Experience Project, not only for allowing me to meet exceptional people and researchers in this beautiful region, but also for the significant progress it has brought to my career.
Wow, that's great.
This has undoubtedly been a key phase in my development with important personal and scientific advances.
Yeah, it sounds like it was a really valuable experience for him.
Thanks to its 3-year duration, which is longer than a conventional MSCA, and to a budget dedicated to research, I have been able to develop new lines of work and mature as a researcher, taking one step closer every day to my own scientific independence.
You can really hear the passion in his voice.
Yeah.
It sounds like it wasn't just about the funding for him.
No.
It was a chance to really connect with other researchers, be in a new environment, and just grow as a scientist.
Yeah, it's really cool to see.
It really highlights the importance of these types of programs.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, they promote collaboration and they expose researchers to new ideas, and it ultimately leads to scientific progress.
Exactly.
So we've seen how Mattia's work has spanned multiple disciplines, from bacteria to cancer vaccines to nanotech and even antiviral research.
Yeah.
He's been busy.
He gets around. It's really remarkable how much he's accomplished.
And in so many different areas, his work has the potential to really make a difference for human health.
Absolutely. It's really exciting research.
It is. It's mind-blowing to think about what nanotechnology might mean for the future of medicine.
Yeah.
You know, we've talked about those carbon dots delivering vaccines and those gold nanoparticles going after viruses. It feels like something straight out of science fiction.
I know. It's crazy to think about.
But it's happening. And researchers like Mattia are right there leading the way.
It really makes you wonder what the future holds.
It does. Mm-hmm. So what other advancements do you think are on the horizon? Like, what should people be looking out for in this field?
Well, nanotechnology is moving so fast, it's hard to say for sure. But one area that I think is really exciting is personalized nanomedicine.
What's that?
Imagine nanoparticles that are tailored to your specific genes in your health conditions.
Wow.
Like custom-designed nanobots that fight disease at a cellular level.
That's incredible. It's like having a tiny army of microscopic doctors working around the clock to keep you healthy.
Exactly. We're also seeing some really cool advancements in nanomaterials that can actually assemble themselves, react to certain things, and even fix damaged tissues. It seems like the possibilities are limitless.
Okay, now that's getting into some serious sci-fi territory.
Yeah, no, it's hard to wrap your head around.
It almost sounds too good to be true.
It does, but the potential is definitely there. And you never know, maybe someday we'll all have these little nanobots swimming around in our blood, keeping us healthy and fighting off disease before we even know it's there.
I like the sound of that. But for now, we have awesome researchers like Mattia, blazing trails, pushing the boundaries, and inspiring the next generation of scientists to think big.
I completely agree. His work really shows what you can do with curiosity, collaboration, and a passion for discovery.
Well, everyone, that's a wrap on our deep dive into Mattia's incredible research journey.
It's been fun.
It has. I hope you all enjoyed it as much as we did. It's been a fascinating look at some cutting-edge science and the amazing people behind it.
Thanks for having me.
A huge thank you to our expert for taking us through all of this complex and fascinating research. To all our listeners out there, stay curious, stay engaged, and keep exploring the world of science. You never know what incredible breakthroughs are just around the corner.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
And that concludes our deep dive for today. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time for another exciting exploration of the world of research and discovery.